Hi, everyone, and welcome to another edition of Talking Sense with Alistair Milroy of Breaking the Mold Accounting. My name is Rhea. I am your host. And hey, how's it going, Alistair?
I'm good, Rhea. How are you?
Great. I mean, I imagine where you are, it's just as hot as it is where I am.
Yeah, it is. It's hot. I think everywhere in Europe's hot. You know, UK papers have been having a field day with this heat wave, but it's like normal Mediterranean weather. So
I think sometimes you know, we know that there is an issue with the environment around the world for sure, but I think sometimes in order to create clickbait or get headlines, media nowadays tends to really amp it up.
They do, yeah. There's been quite a lot of comment on it on various social media, etc. Yeah, I think there's definitely people who are vulnerable who do need to take care, but the rest of us, just, I think it's a lot of common sense.
Yeah. Well, and I mean, you know, you take a look at some of the weather, you know, 20 years ago or 15 years ago, and there were years where it reached, you know, the same temperature. So it's not, yeah, we're experiencing weird weather events for sure as a result of global warming or environmental change or whatever you want to call it. But yeah, we have seen temperatures this high before. It's not a new thing.
Yeah, there's quite a bit of fire, isn't there, certainly in mainland Spain. I think there's quite a in the areas of France, etc. There's quite a lot of bushfires.
Yeah, well, it's par for the course when you don't have a lot of moisture and you got a lot of heat. It's going to happen. And you know, let's hope it's not human related as it has been in the past.
Exactly.
Yeah. Well, today we were going to talk about bookkeeping, VAT and APA, which is advanced. Everybody knows what VAT is because, well, that's a big bone in everybody's sides. And advanced provisioning allowance is what APA is. Let's talk about that.
Yeah. I thought it was worth revisiting again just the importance of your accounting records and keeping those. Both for tax, but also under most company laws, whether you know, most yacht-owning companies are based in offshore jurisdictions, such as Cayman, BBI are very popular, Isle of Man, Guernsey, Jersey, probably the big ones, and Malta is a flag registration. They all have corporate law which governs the accounting records that need to be kept. And yeah, it's important to make sure that those companies and those directors of those companies have records that meet the requirements under the law. And generally that means that they need to be able to pull together a set of accounts at any time. So you need to be able to prepare a trial balance and have an understanding at any point in time of what the financial position of that company is.
Well, let me ask you, I mean, an owner owns the yacht, okay, and he utilizes or she utilizes it for charter purposes, and they've hired a management company. At the end of the day, if the VAT isn't recorded and reported and paid, who ultimately is responsible for that VAT and the fines that go along with it for not reporting it?
Two parties, I think, but ultimately it's the directors of the company who owns the yacht rather than, so you've got things, it's important to distinguish between the ultimate beneficial owner of the yacht, who might be the person funding and set up the structure, but a corporate structure has its own legal identity, and the directors of that company are the ones who are registered for that, and or if you know it's an offshore company and they're using, say, the French or Italian commercial exemption, they've registered for that in that country. They will have a fiscal agent in that country who is also responsible for making sure they file their returns. But normally their agreements will include, you know, they're relying on the owning company to provide the records. And this is where it's not till normally you have an investigation that you find that those records aren't up to the required standard. We are seeing more as well of more focus on the company directors insisting on seeing the records. So where, again, where those where the company's got a management company involved and the management company is doing a lot of the accounting administration, that doesn't discharge any responsibility on the directors of that company to make sure that management, you know, whoever is running those books and preparing the bookkeeping is doing it to a standard that makes sure they can meet their obligations. So there's a big degree of responsibility on those, on the company directors in the end. You know, if it goes wrong or there's an investigation and it's found not, it's not normally, it's the, you know, the managers acting as agents, the responsibility to make sure it's done right lies with those directors, and they need to have some oversight over what a yacht manager is doing if they've delegated that responsibility to them.
Let's talk about TSP and CSP. What are they? And I know that it's probably different in every country, I mean, what their responsibilities are, but let's say we're talking the Cayman Islands, because that is fairly popular to register your yacht and your business. What is a TSP and what is a CSP?
A TSP is a trust service provider and a CSP is a corporate service provider. They're normally one and the same, or regulated to do both. But one is administrating companies and one is administrating trusts. Because yachts generally don't make money and go up in value, putting them in directly in trusts can cause a lot of, you know, a trustee is responsible for preserving assets for the underlying beneficiaries, the people who are going to benefit from the trust. So having an asset which costs a lot of money and falls in value would leave that trustee with a lot of risk of how to manage that. So you'll tend to find that yachts are owned in companies rather than directly in trusts. And often trustees will want that company, you know, outside of a trust structure because of the fact that it isn't an asset which is value is preserved in. But both, wherever you go, there's regulations around the record keeping for companies, both from the company law and jurisdiction. So when you look at Guernsey, Jersey, Cayman, in that company law, it will say these are the accounting records that the company must keep. And on top of that, service providers, because they're professionals and they're regulated, they have to meet certain standards in terms of their record keeping for their client companies and reporting. You know, they're holding money for ultimately someone else. So they have obligations around their accounting records.
So ultimately speaking, say, for example, in the Cayman Islands, because like I said, each country, I mean, they do have a general idea pretty much around the world. But ultimately speaking, in the Cayman Islands, if these people aren't doing their job properly, what is the repercussions on them and what is the repercussions on the company?
Yeah, there's some big repercussions. You can go on, you know, if you look at any of the regulator sites across the world, you'll find that there's more oversight and you know, often statements of fines for those corporate service providers who aren't meeting the standards that are set under their license to do what they're doing, to run the companies. So there's a big degree of responsibility on those corporate service providers to provide that. And ultimately, they are looking up. They need to be sure that if they're running a company with a yacht, that they know and understand what is happening financially with the management. And you know, if they've appointed a manager to run a yacht for them, they need to be measuring, is that manager doing the job to the level or to a professional standard that they should? So you need to be, you know, putting some benchmarks in place around how well, you know, the yacht is being managed, administered, and you know, reviewing things like looking at regular monthly or quarterly reports coming in from a manager. Are they showing a true state of, you know, do you know the banks are reconciled? Is there enough detail in the accounting records to demonstrate that you've got an oversight? You can delegate the task, but that doesn't allow you to abrogate responsibility for the fact that that's done up to the standards you need it done. So you need to be comfortable that the accounting records are, you know, meeting the requirements of the law and of the professional standards of the service provider.
Are the days gone now with what is being, you know, the light that is being shone on the industry and on ultra high net worth individuals, period? Are the days gone where people can just register a company to a post office box and say, for example, the Cayman Islands? Or is that continuing to be a practice?
No, I think certainly those days have gone in most jurisdictions. Where they're not, you're seeing those jurisdictions grey-listed. I mean, Cayman, in fact, is grey-listed, I think, at the moment by the Financial Action Task Force, which is the sort of overall regulator globally of how well all these jurisdictions do. But yeah, most of the jurisdictions now will need to know who owns the company, where their wealth's coming from, particularly with what's gone on this year with the number of sanctions out there. I think that's become more, you know, the risks or penalties of not knowing who you're dealing with are even higher. So, yeah, those rules are in place. I think there's always jurisdictions. Some of the US jurisdictions and states such as Delaware, etc., are a lot more lax in terms of knowing who that is. But that still comes with its risk if you're found to be breaking the law within the US, then the consequences can be quite severe at the back end of that.
Well, let me ask you, those people that used to cut corners in the past, and it was fairly easy to do, you know, to be absolutely honest, and there are people still out there that think that they can get away with, you know, sort of shuffling the books a bit. How possible is that? And what can you expect to find they're going to be found out, and they're going to be found out quick. And I know for a fact, you know, in discussion with various people, that people are still sort of fudging their books a bit. There's some serious consequences.
Yeah, I think there's still an element of people thinking, well, it's a yacht, so my accounting is very easy. But particularly if you're chartering and you've got VAT, you're running a business, you know, VAT rich the business, and your obligations are the same as any other business that is having to pay VAT. And that means, you know, you need to have your records showing the place of supply of the goods or the services, you know, having the right addresses on them. You need to be checking that the VAT numbers that you're given from suppliers are correct, which, you know, there's websites online that, you know, around Europe, et cetera, where you can key in a VAT number and it can be validated. So, you know, there's checks like that that needs it that should be being done for those sort of businesses. I do think there's still, it's not until the back end where someone has an issue. And I've spoken to many lawyers who say when they're involved with tax investigation, you know, the first thing they ask for is the accounts of the company. And that's often where the records just aren't strong enough in terms of that detail to support a VAT investigation. And you've got to remember that the law, the tax authorities are getting cleverer. There's more sharing of data. There's more, particularly around VAT. It's a European database. There's a lot of data shared between jurisdictions. So if anomalies come up, it will trigger an investigation. And I think the days of, and I think it still goes on, but the days of just pulling together a pile of invoices and sending it to your fiscal agent without reconciling your VAT position leaves owners at risk of a large bill.
What about the interaction between, for example, the US and Europe? Because there's a lot of US owners out there. I mean, the US is the majority. When it comes to yachts, they are the majority owners. Is there that kind of cooperation that you see equally within Europe, overseas as well?
Yeah, I think, yeah, there is. There's probably more rules around how that information is exchanged. There's, you know, again, even your islands, where the yachts tend to be owned, like Cayman and Guernsey and Jersey and Isle of Man, all have tax information agreements in place. The US introduced FATCA, which was basically wanting to collect information on any US assets owned overseas, which gave reporting requirements pretty much globally. That was followed by what's called the Common Reporting Standard, which I think is there's around 38 to 40 countries who now share their data in terms of, so when you set up a company, for instance, now you have to give your tax identification numbers through, and that information is reported through the various tax offices and shared. So, you know, there isn't really anywhere to hide on that sort of information.
Is there any countries? I mean, I know in the situation of, for example, Russia. Now, I'm not sure if that has anything to do with taxes, but they are now, you know, they've got their yachts in Dubai and Abu Dhabi, and of course, Turkey. Is that sort of places where you can still sort of hide, as it were? I mean, aside from hiding the massive assets called yachts, but I mean, as far as your financial aspects.
The Middle East, doesn't it? Because a lot of certainly Middle East owners aren't taxed, so there's less tax. You know, they've got to keep whatever records they have in those countries. They're still obligated under, you know, if you've got a Cayman company, for instance, you've still got to meet those requirements of the accounting in Cayman. If it's a pleasure yacht rather than commercial, there's, you're not that registered, for instance, then there's less. But if you're into that chartering and you're paying VAT in certainly in a European country, then you're back to having those same regulations around your accounting records. I think when you mentioned, I mean, Russia's clearly a pariah at the moment in terms of the sanctions, or Russian owners are facing a lot. But as soon as you get into wanting, and where sanctions bias is wanting to use the financial system in sterling, euros, dollars, you know, to transfer the assets around in those well-used currencies, you're going to come into problems if you don't have the right identification in place and the right sources. You're just not going to be able to access the financial system without that information. And unfortunately, that's meant, some people who aren't sanctioned, we've seen a lot of banks just blanket say, look, it's too complicated, so we're not going to deal with any Russians and any Ukrainians, whether you're sanctioned or not. And that's obviously causing issues for people who probably should have access to the financial system. But the risks for those institutions of trying to look after them, or trying to look and make sure they're not breaking the law, because the penalties are quite high, have just meant they've just said, look, this isn't worth the risk. We're just not going to accept any business from those citizens of those countries or those banking systems.
It has really become a minefield. It really has. And I would suggest that anyone out there that is a yacht owner or chartering a yacht, definitely check. I mean, even your management company or those that are managing, your business or your ultra high net worth. What is that? A family?
Yeah, your family office or your corporate
family
service
office. Yeah,
they will be on top of this. I mean, the other importance of bookkeeping, particularly around charter, is if you're looking at, say, the French commercial exemption, where you've got rules around owner charters and things. Unless you're on top of that record keeping, on your charter side, you risk potentially falling outside the rules that you need to apply for the exemption that you've got, and that could upset your future chartering operations for the next year. If you don't meet those rules and you can't then benefit from the exemption, then potentially you can't charter in those countries, or you're going to be subject to a lot higher VAT bill and have that financial impact.
Well, it's definitely time to keep an eye on your finances, that's for sure. Anything to do with your yacht, you've got to keep a close eye on, because, I mean, it's a simple fact, the world is keeping a close eye on it.
Yeah, and you need to make sure you've got the right maintenance program in place, that the right money's being spent, that have you changed as much as the fiscal side, but have you changed your hydraulic fuels? Have you changed your oil? Is the maintenance being done that's not going to end up, if it's not done, or not buying the quality of fuel or quality of lubricants, that you're going to have engine problems, which are going to cost you a lot more at your 5-year survey, for instance.
Well, you know, it's changed a lot. 10 years ago, you know, most of the world didn't even really know that the yachting industry existed. You know, it was smaller. It was only known in the places where obviously there were marinas where these big yachts sat. But I would say probably a good 95% of the population didn't know that yachting existed. So it was much easier, you know, to do what you wanted to do when you wanted to do it and shuffle your money around. But with the microscope being put on yachting now and the entire world seeing it and knowing it exists, it's really important to be very, very careful, especially talking about the kind of money that we're talking about. We're not talking about an individual doing their taxes, maybe making, you know, $50,000, $100,000 a year. We're talking significantly more.
Yeah, these are, you know, we've seen fourfold, even greater increase in the size of yachts, the number of crew on board, and with that becomes, you know, the size of the budgets to operate the yachts has become a lot better. And I think certainly the conversations I've been having, family offices are becoming, you know, more aware of, you know, these are actually significant. You know, whilst they're not assets that are making money, it's a, you know, it's a big budget that they've got, and actually having some structure around that and putting some benchmarks and some performance indicators around, you know, how that asset is being operated and the reporting that they expect back for that, and making sure they're spending the money where in the right places, and managing that risk is more and more important.
It's a business. I mean, a yacht is a business. Yeah. You take it's work. It really is work. And that's why people hire people to look after their yachts, because, you know, they work all the time and they have a yacht in order to spend some time enjoying themselves. And the last thing that they want to do is get on that yacht and worry about business. So that's why they hire somebody else to take care of that business. But, you know, then they actually have to make sure that that person they've hired to do business is doing business properly.
Yeah. And you know, where there's companies involved and professional directors, they also have, you know, a responsibility to make sure that asset, if they've delegated the responsibility for the asset to be managed by someone else, that actually is being managed to a standard, and they can demonstrate to the owner and any other stakeholder in that company that actually, you know, they've got the right controls in place and oversight that things are being done properly.
Right. Well, I'm telling you, it is tricky. It's very tricky. and it's becoming more and more difficult. And it, realistically, I mean, you know, you take a look at the bills nowadays. I mean, I think just the other day there was, you know, the fifth largest super yacht in the world has just been, you know, released out into the wild. So they're getting bigger and they're getting more expensive, and the operating costs are getting more expensive, and the amount of crew, everything about them is, I mean, they're small right. Cruise ships nowadays, you know?
Yeah. And you've got your, you know, your 80 meter plaster off and have a purser in place, but there's still a big number of yachts who won't have a purser on board because they're in the 40 to 60 meter range. And, but you still have a significant budget. And again, if you're chartering, you've got some obligations around that reporting. It's complicated. It's not something I think that's fair to expect a captain or even someone who's, you know, a head of department to understand what the record keeping requirements are. And doing it in arrears, 4 months, and sort of picking up receipts and trying to do it, it's too late. If you have an issue, it's already happened. You know, if you present your invoices to your fiscal agent and there's an issue, it's happened. You know, if he hasn't got the right VAT number on at that point, you know, you've already got the problem. So being up to date with your bookkeeping is really the key to, and having those accounting records up to date is the only way of having that oversight of, you know, managing those potential issues before they arise. And we're just to touch on RIA with APA, you know, we haven't touched on APA, but APA is the charterer's money. It belongs to the charterer. There is actually under the MEBA contracts, for instance, there's a responsibility on the owning company and the owner of the yacht to manage that money and report back to the charterer. If that, again, if that's been delegated to a manager, or they have a responsibility to make sure those records are correct. Otherwise, you know, if you can't account for your APA money back to your charterer, then you potentially have another cost to the owner of having to make that up. And again, that gets complicated now with VAT having to be calculated on fuel. I've certainly seen that before where, you know, they've calculated the fuel bill for the charter but forgotten to add the VAT, and that becomes the owning company has to pay that if that's the case. Yeah, it's, you know, and you have to be on top of those issues as the charter's happening. Otherwise, there's going to be a cost that's left for the owner to cover.
Right. Well, if you have any further questions that you would like answered, or you need any help whatsoever, we do include all of Alistair's information below this. I'm sure he's happy to answer any questions or refer you to whoever you need to be referred to, if that's the case. Thank you, Alistair, again, for all your helpful information.
Yeah, always open to be contacted through LinkedIn or my website. As you say, all the details are on here. So, yeah. It's great to be talking to people in the industry.
Once again, you've been watching another edition of Talking Sense with Alistair Milroy of Breaking the Mold Accounting. My name is Ria. I have been your host. We'll see you again next time.